ABC Radio Dao in Denmark.
It's stealthy. There is a constant trickle down your back. Your fuse is short. It's kind of difficult to breathe, and the atmosphere, well, damp, moist, uncomfortable. It's a torturous territory build-up. And that feeling, well, it envelopes Illy inside and out, her whole life living here in Darwin. The build-up season set in Darwin, and the analogy between the book's title and its subject matter, well, intimately entwined. The complicated life, her story of self-discovery, a traumatic past with her relationship with her dad, a perpetrator of violence against her mum. And then there are the mixed tapes that probably reflect more about what's going on inside than the actual words of the book. Megan Jacobson is the author of The Build-Up Season. Hello.
Hello.
And your description of the build-up, you in fact have that intimate connection because you grew up here.
I did grow up here. I went to primary school here at Perrott Primary and Natcliffe Primary as well. And, oh gosh, one of my earliest memories was just hugging the fridge because it was so hot, or lying on the tiles because it was, you know, a little bit cool there, and then just sort of moving tiles as they heated up.
And at school?
School was great. School had air conditioning, which was nice. but no, it was wonderful. I remember Nightcliffe Primary and all of the frillneck lizards everywhere and chasing them around, and the green ant nests that the kids would like sometimes throw rocks at, which probably isn't the best idea.
And were you always one of those kids who liked to eat the bums of the green ant?
I did, yes.
Such a rite of passage, isn't it?
They're so sour. They just, because at the time warheads were really big, and it was a thing to, you know, see how much sour lollies you could eat, and it was like the worst warhead you've ever eaten in your life.
It's a warhead.
Oh, it was like a really like very sour sweet that you could get from the corner store for 10 cents.
Oh, right. I was thinking it was another type of ant.
No.
You, of course, live in Sydney now. When you were writing The Build-Up Season, did you actually come back and immerse yourself in a build-up and your past to actually write this book?
Well, my sister and my nieces and nephews and great-nephews still live here, so I come up to visit pretty often. And while I was writing the book, I came during the wet, and my sister knows the name of every bird and plant. And so we went out to Shady Camp and Dundee, and I was pointing to all of the birds and the plants that I knew, but I didn't know their exact names. So she was giving me the names, and I'd sort of write down what they look like. So I got a bit of authenticity from my sister.
I've mentioned that interconnection between that physical build-up and your 18-year-old protagonist, this central character. How important is that as a backdrop for the storyline?
Oh, it's absolutely integral. I feel such a pull towards the landscape here, and whenever I write, I want the weather and the landscape to be like a character in itself. And so I need to be quite intimately connected to the places I write about. And so when the book starts, it's the dry season, so it's all endless sunny days, but then the air becomes more and more claustrophobic, and the sky gets heavier and everything becomes tighter, and the humidity grips all the characters, and that sort of mirrors the way that behaviours and the threat of violence sort of starts gripping the characters. It's definitely a metaphor. And it's really, really interesting because I wanted to call it The Build-Up Season, and then I did research about domestic violence, and I discovered that there's actually a term in domestic violence literature called the build-up, which is after the violence and then while they're love bombing, and you know, they ask for everything to, you know, get better and for their partners to forgive them, and then the bad behaviours start to build up and just before the violence starts, which was a really interesting discovery.
Ellie lives with her mum and her grandma. It's a pretty strained relationship, of course, framed around that violent family history. Yeah. What actually drove you to write about a teenager growing up in a violent home?
I always come with the characters first. So I was actually trying to write a different novel, and then I had this character just burst into my consciousness, and she had this long curly hair which was half shaved, and she was rolling her eyes and sticking her tongue out and grabbing my arm, and she wouldn't go away. And so I had to abandon the first book. And I knew her name was Iliad, and I didn't know why. And so then I got the book, and it's about war. And that kind of made sense, that this girl who seemed to have a lot of fighting inside of her would be called Iliad, but I couldn't understand why her parents would call her that. And then I read the introduction to the book, and I discovered that the word Iliad comes from the word Ilium, which was the ancient, another name for the ancient Greek city of Troy. And Iliad means in relation to Troy. And then I was thinking, well, who is Troy? And then I was like, well, maybe that's her father. And then what sort of man would need his child to be called after him? And that sort of seems quite controlling. And I also work at the ABC in Sydney, and I was really confronted by the amount of stories that we were doing about women who were murdered by their current or past partners. And then we did another story about how women between the ages of 18 and 23 are twice as likely than any other age group to actually be in a violent relationship, and nobody ever really talks about that. So I got all of these ideas and put them together, and that's sort of where I figured my story was.
I think Territorians will actually relate not just to the weather conditions, but this unique lingo and these birds and the atmosphere that you talk about, that your sister helped you describe some of. That Territory language, it's sprinkled throughout the story, which is lovely.
Yeah, definitely. I remember when I moved down south, and it really surprised me that a bunch of kids didn't know what I was talking about when I said that someone was a budgie, or I said gammon, and everyone looked at me like I was speaking some foreign language, and it didn't occur to me that not everybody in the whole world spoke the same way as Darwin people spoke.
In fact, there's some great lines that made me laugh out loud. She isn't a detailed study of Bjork. Mia just happens to dress like she walked past an op shop and a cyclone blew clothes onto her back. Where did you get that line from?
I'm not quite sure. I was just sort of thinking, I live in Sydney, and you see like a lot of hipsters, and you're not quite sure whether their mismatched clothes are ironic or whether they actually have no style. It's a very fine line.
I like that. The other part of your central character is this sort of healthy skepticism about her, and this very sharp sense of humour. And I wonder, is that you?
A little bit. I think when you write, every single character is a little part of you, even if it's just a smidgen, and then you just make it huge. So, I mean, there is a part of me that likes to, you know, mock some wellness trends. But at the same time, I'm also a yoga-loving vegetarian, so I'm kind of mocking myself.
Now, you set the book in this sort of pressure cooker, this build-up, and the analogy for the turmoil of Illy. And it feels about identifying with her dad and guilt about those feelings. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, I just sort of tried to put myself in her shoes, and I did a lot of research about children who are raised in violent environments, and there is sort of the guilt, because there's a line that I have in there, and children are stupidly generous with their hearts before they learn to be more careful about it. And if she loved her dad and her dad was nice to her, but, you know, when you get a bit older, you realise that sometimes Yeah, I mean, she was being used as a weapon. Being a teenager is really intense anyway. I think that Illy has a lot going on. She's got a lot of walls around her. She was raised watching her mum being abused by her father, and she's made a promise to herself that she will never say sorry and she'll never be like her mother and she will never let love in. So I don't think that she misses her dad, but she's definitely been scarred by that situation. And I think, you know, the threat of violence and her history with violence shapes all of Illy's interactions with everybody around her. I think every single, you know, experience that you have shapes you and shapes your storytelling in some way or another. I've always been drawn to stories, and I've always basically written the story that I need to write. I can't sort of look at, you know, a genre and go, oh, well, that's sort of seeming to sell well, I might jump on that bandwagon. Basically, the build-up season, the story came to me and I just had to put my ear very close to my soul and listen hard to the emotional truths. And I hope that I portray that with the build-up season. And I hope that it will be, an enjoyable story despite all of, you know, the heavy themes. It's pretty funny and it's quite lighthearted at times. So I hope, like, first and foremost, that people will enjoy it. But I also hope that it will be maybe a platform for people to discuss healthy behaviours in relationships and unhealthy behaviours, because I feel like one of the reasons that young people are more likely to be in an abusive relationship is because they're reading Twilight and books like that. And in those novels, it's showing controlling and jealous behaviour and as romantic. And so I think it's a lot of young women haven't had the relationship experience to understand what is healthy and what isn't healthy, and what they're sort of reading about isn't actually a very healthy depiction of what a relationship should be. And so I'm hoping that this book will start a dialogue.
ABC Radio Darwin.